Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
How's it going?
Fine, thanks. You?
I'm good.
Good to hear you.
No, I haven't called to talk about domestic violence. My wife hasn't been to me recently, so therefore I don't really have anything to say. Okay?
You're good, then. You're good.
Right, but at the same time, because, one, this is such an important topic, I still have to see if you can extrapolate some of the things, something from it, from some of the things which I really and truly want to talk about.
No problem.
Because, yes, we had the People's Parliament Hall yesterday, and this highlights a lot of things which I think we need to see and understand that are going on in this country. And the political parties have got to take this seriously. The people who intend to lead this country. And I heard last week a gentleman come in after I had made a contribution saying how I'm a strong BLP and that's the reason why I want to see the back of this government and all that sort of stuff. And I have made it clear on this program before. I belong to no political party. I belong to Barbados. I believe in Barbados, and the things that I say are done and said on behalf of this country. Simple as that. And one of the problems we have is that we have people who would like to force a wedge in this country between people to say, okay, if you are not one camp, you belong to the other camp. So therefore, it's a us against them and all that sort of stuff. And these parties playing games. And it is not about what is best for the country. I believe that this country has been hijacked by party politics. And the ways in which the discussions which we are now having in terms of giving the parties more power, more or less, or more credibility, right? All sorts of different things that take us away from the fact that our constitution talks about the individual and is there. We have to protect that. This is what is important to me. Now, we had one of the parties spoke yesterday, Ms. Eason, talking about community, and we have this thing about, okay, we need to grow our own food. Now, I believe strongly that Barbados needs to feed itself. Okay? Now, notice what I said. Barbados needs to feed itself. And if you choose to go and plant a backyard or whatever and plant some food in your backyard, that is because should be because of choice. That is because you want to do it because it's something for you to do, to entertain yourself, not out of necessity. All right? And what I find is that conversation is driven a lot of times by the powers that be, because they cannot fix the systems that should be fixed in order to make sure that, let's say, Barbados is feeding itself. The systems in terms of the planting, in terms of farmers getting together and knowing what to plant, when to plant it, the systems of wholesalers and distributors then being able to liaise with those farmers to have the storage facilities, all that sort of stuff, and then getting their produce to market and doing that consistently, giving them the quantities they need, all that sort of stuff. Those systems that exist right now are not about us feeding ourselves. Those systems are about us importing stuff. So therefore, the wholesalers and those people, they have those systems down pat.
Correct. Even when you look at, and I want to read this, beg indulgence, this one saying, hi, Corey, we are hearing from the government to plant more food and eat what we grow, but the monkeys are destroying our crop. What they don't eat, they're simply destroying. How are we going to get rid of them? Monkeys are a nuisance. They serve no purpose. All they're doing is breeding and multiplying. They're attacking our crops by the numbers. Generations of monkeys out there, they're taking over all the crops. If you plant, they're going to destroy.
Because that is also a matter of management.
Correct. So we got all of these systems that you have to get put in place to make sure you're successful and not just say, plant what you eat and eat what you plant.
Exactly. So therefore, I fully agree with the fact of community, developing the community. And I believe in community gardens and all those sort of stuff. I strongly believe in those there, but not out of necessity. It should be out of choice. And the conversation has to be driven that way. I have said, look, any party vying to take over the next government, to lead Barbados into a new century, has got to be bold and imaginative in the things that they say. Okay? Now, I just saw, it was just read to me earlier today, that Antigua and Barbuda are now legalizing marijuana. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that the Prime Minister is now apologizing for the Rastafari, to the Rastafari community, for all the police harassment and all that sort of stuff that has been going on there, and acknowledging that the only reasons why marijuana was criminalized in the society is because of external influences. Now, when you hear that confession coming from some person running a government, and you have to ask yourself, what is Barbados doing? Okay? And what, more importantly, forget what we've done in the past, but what are we proposing in the future? Because I hear people talking about, oh, we're going to put it to a referendum. Now, again, the BLP is very strong on referendum ideas and that sort of stuff. And I am wary to two things about that. Yes, I agree with referendum on some things. But one, you have to understand, if you're going to run a government, you have to be able to run a government. And you have to be able to propose things or whatever. And in a lot of cases, when people put referendum forward, you find that political reasons are, a lot of times, sidetrack those referendum. Like the last referendum we had when it came to daylight saving time, it became a back and forth political thing between B and D or whatever, and one winning over the other, that sort of stuff. And then the society has to have enough information given. They have to have that understanding to be able to make a critical and competent decision. So therefore, you have to be careful when you talk about making referendum on all the sort of different things. And then when you get situations that say where the church might get involved and the church has a particular opinion on something. Now, that is not necessarily in keeping with what the convention or human rights or whatever might be saying. Let's say in terms of gay and lesbian relationships or homosexuality and those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And we see, again, Trinidad has now legalized, that same-sex issue or what have you, buggery, whatever it is. And we keep asking ourselves, these people are doing these things, and Barbados is not having the conversation. We are saying we aren't going to do this because of why? Because is something that we've traditionally not grown up with, or the church is against it. Not that, well, listen, this is the way the world is going in terms of, and this is what is right or wrong, and we need to have a conversation about that. This is what human rights is about. So therefore, this is where I can draw it to the aspect of abuse. Okay, and the conversation which we've been having this morning. And also, in terms of the neglect of people with disabilities, All these things are tied up in the fact that we do not have the conversations about it. Is our culturally, we are allowing people to dictate what we do or whatever, and not coming together and saying, "Listen, we need to sit down, we need to talk, we need to iron out what we are going to do." And then we need to proceed to do it. And that is what I want to hear coming from the political parties.
Me too.
I believe strongly that Ms. Eastman has a place in our House of Assembly. Because I believe she understands certain things that need to happen in this country. Okay? I also believe that Ms. Motley has the best understanding of what is going on and the critical nature that we are at in this country and the steps that are needed to take it forward. And I want people that when they go to vote, but I've said, sorry, let me step back, they have to get that together. that call that you had from the lady this morning talking about the fact that she would go into this constituency office and she find out that she can't vote and all that sort of foolishness. You are trying to win a government. Get your act together. There is no excuse for people not knowing how to get in contact with you and how to then be able to cast their vote on your behalf. You have not, don't take things for granted. Get your act together and do the things that have to be done. That's enough preaching for me this morning, Glory.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you for giving us a call and making that contribution. Okay, let's go over to WhatsApp here quickly. It says, Corey, if a person intends to kill another, the only way it can probably be prevented is if one of the persons leave the country. So, yeah. This one here says, hey, Corey, not sure if I have the right number for WhatsApp, etc. It says, anyway, as it relates to domestic violence, I have found in my field that a lot of females are the aggressors. Generally, the males don't come to the police, but as soon as the male retaliates, they run to the police and tell their side of the story and shed crocodile tears. And say, I want him charged. When the perpetrator is brought in custody, the full story is revealed and the males generally get the bad end of the stick. I'm not justifying domestic violence. They're just that there are different sides that the civilians don't generally see. That's coming from an officer. This one says, Corey, there is a need for a real men's group that handles gender issues in a mature way. I find the present one is too combative and it in many ways encourage bad attitude that leads to domestic violence. A great need is for relationship counseling for men, and there is one role for an enlightened men's organization. This one here says, Corey, the DLP is not obligated to come to VOB, as when they come, they get bad treatment. Even the DLP supporter callers, y'all want blood every day for the last 10 years. From the politicians. Corey, a friend of mine was assaulted first and then stalked for weeks by an ex-boyfriend before he turned himself in. Notice I said, not caught, but turned himself in, only because he was on bail for a similar offense. And the person who signed the bail was getting in trouble because he constantly skipped his court appearances. But here's the thing, Corey, the guy would brag about the time he would spend when he's caught. And that it was nothing. Corey, would you believe it? That the magistrate sentenced the guy to the same time he was bragging about, which was less than a year, after being on bail for doing the same thing to different women. Where is the justice? This one says, okay, read that one. It says, why the fuss? Let the school children catch the bus if it's free for them. When they want to catch the PSV, they will know they have to pay. They should be paying the transport board, if you ask me, because a lot of these children are wearing $200+ in bags and shoes. They can afford it. This one says, no buses my side. My child goes to Commonmere. That's $8 a day, since when the buses get to the airport from the castle, they're full. There are hardly any buses to Waterford. Waiting on a bus when she used to catch them, got her school at 9 or after 9 every day. Then the teacher's on me saying that she's being late. It's not fair. I haven't had a raise of pay yet. And every time you look wrong, you have to spend more money. I'm working hard. I'm doing my part. They're all able-bodied people on welfare. Big stoops, according to that person. This one says, hi, as a male, I'm thankful for voices like yours and your earlier caller, Patrick. My heart goes out to all the victims of domestic violence. To all those who encourage or agree with the perpetrators of this kind of behavior, I have two questions. One, what does your taking of a life achieve? And secondly, would you be willing to sacrifice your freedom for a few minutes of being irrational? Finally, as a born-again Christian, I wish to challenge our leaders to re-examine their approach to couples in situations where there's domestic violence and it is clear that a life is in potential danger. While I believe in the sanctity of marriage, I believe more strongly that God values our life more than the institution of marriage. Good afternoon. Scientists have determined that by 2050, there'll be more plastic bottles in the ocean than fish. Mr. Holder had forgotten to mention that fact. Hello, moderator. I am a proud Guyanese who can tell you stories about abuse from those that were reported and some not reported. I find the police don't take your complaints serious. I am still shaken after the events on Saturday because it brought back my own abuse to me. Thankfully, I'm no longer in an abusive relationship. We pay taxes, etc. It's sometimes just for your peace that you go about living in constant fear. Long after I was out of the relationship, I still jump at the slightest thing that reminds me of my past. Let's go back to the telephone lines at 20 minutes after 1. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're on the air. The in between there, let's say, moral suasion will only have little effect on persons who are not grounded in spiritual or religious foundation. My people believe that noise must be made in order to enjoy life. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Yes, please.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I am doing pretty good myself.
Good.
I just want to revisit the issue that I called in on the program yesterday, and I was appalled at the statement that was made by Lynette Eastman. I want to know which Barbados she was living in, and if she doesn't read. As a matter of fact, she served as a minister in the Barbados Labour Party.
What is that appalled you? Have you appalled?
Because of a statement, I raised an issue in relation to disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have a disability. Sometime before 2000, a green paper on the rights of persons with disabilities was tabled in Parliament. Mm-hmm. And then in 2002, this green paper turned to white, right? Which means that it has gotten a step further to maybe reality. And then in 2013, this same paper was then ratified. That is the paper on the rights of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was appalled is that she said that she has no recollection of such documents. And yet she served as a minister in the Barbados Labour Party administration. Anyhow, I was not able to elaborate on some of the things that I wanted to really talk about because of the limited time and the nature of the program that was held yesterday. There are a lot of issues in that same paper that was ratified, the document that was ratified in 2013. Everything in that document pertains to persons with disabilities in every facet of life. Corey. And only recently, before Parliament was dissolved, this government rushed to make legislation on a number of things. And one of them was the Road Traffic Act. Now, persons with disabilities, I guess, would have benefited in the area of persons parking illegally in parking for disabled persons with disabilities. Right. Now, there are, before Parliament was also dissolved, we had one of the Barbados Labour Party ministers in the person of Mr. Edmund Hinkson made a resolution in Parliament in relation to this same document. It seems as though that where things are pertaining to persons with disabilities, we are always left in the background. I also want to endorse what one of your callers said earlier. My friend and colleague too, Lady Osman, she talked about her blindness and stuff. I also have a visual impairment. I'm blind. And for years, persons with disabilities in this country have been suffering in every area, whether it is education, health, employment, everything. Corey, she made issues in relation to employment. And when persons become disabled, the first thing that happens is that, especially if they acquire a disability on their job, the first thing that happens is that, oh, you have a disability, so therefore you can't do anything. So the best thing for you to do is to go home. Then, after a period of time, you are deemed medically boarded. Then you have to go home and to live on a pension, right? A pension that sometimes those individuals cannot survive on. If they have to pay rent, they can't eat. And if they eat, they can't pay the bills. Mm-hmm. There's such a thing as retraining. And as a, for instance, if it's like you was an athlete and you got injured, but you love sports so much, and you can no longer run the 100 or the 200 because of that injury, what was wrong with training me to throw the chalk put or the javelin or the discus, mm-hmm. and let me remain in sports?
One of the things I would like to see is that the disabled community continue to advocate for themselves. I think y'all made a great step with Kerri-Ann Ifill as president of the Senate, but a lot more still needs to be done, because I believe you are the best person, best placed. And there was a message I was reading here, probably come up as I go through it, and it was talking about the he who feels it knows it. You
exactly.
You know, sometimes we talk about these issues as they come up and then they drop off. But the persons who actually live in it, it is a matter for them all the time. For somebody else, it may be a topic. But yes. For you, it is a lifestyle. It is an issue that you have to grapple with and face and champion every single day.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying that one of the main issues that I raised, I say that in relation to the legislation, that document that was ratified, Corrida has in everything. And all we need now is the legislation, because the legislation speaks to, like, for instance, you have, if a government builds a housing complex, and in that document says 10% of the houses are supposed to be allocated to persons with disabilities. That is what's supposed to happen.
Correct.
If there's legislation. But if there isn't any legislation, they could build a housing complex, but they ain't got to get none to disabled. The same thing as with jobs. If legislation comes and they say, well, two persons out of every 10 or 15 must be employed that has a disability.
And that's why you have these associations, you have people like yourself, they must remain vigilant and ensure that these type of calls are made. Anyhow, I want to thank you very much for making that call to you. Goodbye. And we go on to some of the WhatsApps and go back to the lines. I want to get to as many of these as possible after the WhatsApp, right? So this one said, the signals are there from early. Control is often mistaken for love in every form of relationship. This one says, Corey, I find that persons get into relationship too easy. In this small country, a woman can easily find out what type of man she's getting involved with. Sometimes people would warn you and you will still go ahead and like the person, because at that time you don't see the bad things about that person. This one says, Corey, we women are trapped because men tell you things that you want to hear, and then certain things happen. They can't read what they have there. We women have to court and look for red flags. This one says, good afternoon. We Bajans have short memory. We make a big deal and fuss whenever a female ends up dead in domestic violence, saying that this needs to happen and the next won't doing. 2 weeks later, everybody forgets until the next life is lost, except those of us who have lost someone. And every time it happens, the memories of the one you lost comes rushing back with the pain the family and friends must be feeling. Says, hi, Corey, how do you feel about a female that calls the police for you? And when they came, the truth that she beat him and aggravated him and found out that she was the perpetrator. That had been done to me as a male. What I recognized that the police were going to do their job and arrested me. But after she told them the truth that she was the aggressor, they just warned her and left. Do you think that that is fair? We get laughed at when abused. One more. Corey, it is true. Some men can't take no for an answer because we have politicians, lawyers, police. Also, they beat women. These situations will continue regardless of what we say here. It's just gone 29 minutes after 1. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
When their journey on this earth ends, the memories begin in your heart. Honor your loved ones through eulogies, reflections, and tributes in the family notices of Nation Classifieds. Tributes sent by Tuesday will be featured in the following Sunday's newspaper. Contact the team at Nation Classifieds Fontebelle at 430-5524 or Nation Classifieds Sheraton Mall at 467-2861. You can also see the Nation newspaper for more details.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year. One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Groceries, utility bills, landline and mobile telephone services, fuel, internet services, education opportunities, health and fitness services, and many more. Here's how to enter. Spend $40 or more in fuel at any Esso service station. $25 or more at any branch of KFC. $25 or more at the Lorry Dash Craft Shop. $50 or more at Accents and Decor. Or $50 or over at LED Illuminations. Every time, write your name and contact information on the back of the receipt or entry form and drop it in the box provided at any of our participating sponsors. Sweet life in VOB country. 1 year of easy living for one lucky VOB listener.
The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Let's try to get a few more WhatsApps before we have to go. This one says, Corey, you get persons who are against the death penalty saying that it will not deter or stop murder. These people fail to recognize that the death penalty is the punishment for the crime. When they see it being carried out, they should think before they commit the crime. But if they choose to, then that will be the punishment that they deserve. I am sick and tired of men killing women and going to jail and getting treated like they are the victims. When are those in authority going to do something? Maybe they will when women turn the table and get rid of them before the men get rid of them. This one says, look at the magistrates and their age. A magistrate in Canada hearing a rape case, the magistrate in the case asked the woman why couldn't she close her legs to avoid being raped. Then the magistrate fought to stay as a magistrate. He was fired, though. I find that in Barbados, men think it's okay to harm, but as soon as the man is harmed, the same man, he thinks it is okay to abuse the woman. By the way, Canada will be legalizing marijuana in June 2018, says the writer. This one says, hi, good afternoon to you. I'm a single mother and I take care of my daughter. I am not in a relationship because I'm not comfortable with any man coming to my home with my daughter there. Whenever you start talking to some men, the first thing they want to do is to come to your home. Corey, it is so frightening to think about getting involved in a relationship that I prefer to wait until my daughter is all grown up. And I will stay by myself until then. It is too dangerous to get involved with people nowadays. Have a nice day. And you have a nice day too. This one is saying, Corey, we've destroyed the monkeys' habitat. Where do you think the monkeys have to go? Killing them is not the answer. If so, why not try to control the humans as well? Just gone 24 minutes before 2. 24 minutes before we strike up the band and head on home for this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. So, in the meantime and in between time, let's say good afternoon. And welcome to our next caller. You are on the air. Let's see if we can get in as many callers as possible. Good afternoon. Okay, let's go. Good afternoon. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. You're on the air. Okay, people, get close to your telephones. Come, I know you're holding for a while. Good afternoon, Brass Tacks. You're on the air. And let's go again. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to get on the program, please.
You're lucky, man. We know put up with 5 people just to get you.
Well, great, right. Corey.
Because you're top great. Of the class.
Great, Corey.
Yes.
Listen to me, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's 2 things I want to look at with you here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was in the van a little earlier to hear the bus fare thing for school children. That's mm-hmm. one. But last week when you finished with me, I was trying to make a rebut there and they cut me out.
Okay, apologies.
You say that my friend Peter,
mm-hmm.
right? And I just keep things crystal clear. It is not my friend, Peter. It is my foe, Peter. There's friends and there's foes. So let me get that straight. Peter would fall in the category of foes, well, not friends.
But I hear you calling for him every week. You could have fooled me. I thought that was your friend.
But I'm calling for him to get on a match.
Remember
your good friend, Mark Williams. He tried to piggyback on that too, and I had to dismiss him and tell him, no, not your friend, your fool. So I got to be consistent.
All right, point the account. Let's go.
Good. You got to be consistent.
You're the classic.
Hold a minute, Avin. Now, let's take a look at this bus fare for school children. Now, I don't know what you know about the transport act and things like that. But you went to school too, and you know that three school children that's count to two passengers. You know that or you don't know that?
Three school children
to two passengers. If you're checking the bus for overload and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the fare cannot be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear you there making sport with a fella telling you about them got all these kind of expenses, so they move it to two. They cannot set bus fare in Barbados. And the school children is $150 and adults is $2.
Right, but you heard he tried to give the impression that it was supposed to be two, and out of the kindness of their hearts, that they were charging the $150. But after discussions, they have been given the go ahead. But I've been informed by the minister that is not so.
Well, inform him. Because
mm-hmm.
you know this is the problem that's got with you. I got you as a bright, brilliant youngster, I would like you to develop. So I just try to keep
up. What problem you got with me?
I'm going to give you a little guidance. You did not set him right. There's three school children to two.
I wasn't interested in that part. But the three to two, right, has nothing to do with the law. I was going based on what the law says that bus fare is. Bus fare is regulated by the laws of Barbados. It is not regulated by how much you get charged for two to three to four to ten. It's not regulated by that. So you see, you want to guide me, but you're guiding me down into a hole.
No, I want you to set him right. The fare for adults and children is not the same. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
But you was in the van. What kind of van you was in? There's a minivan, a prison van. What sort of van you was in? What van you was in?
Me?
Yes.
I was in a Toyota Tongue.
Oh, jeez. Sure for driving. But listen, didn't you hear me say it to him? That bus fare was not increased to $2. It was increased by 50 cents. So if the children were paying a dollar, they would pay $1.50. Did you hear that point?
I heard you say that.
Well, right.
But it was speculative as against being informative.
Oh, I see. But I didn't have the art in front of me, so I like to speak subject to correction. But you could run off and be a wild horse, according to the minister, but I don't want to be. I need to be informed by the law. Now, I spoke subject to correction because it was going on memory of what the last budget and the increase was about. And I remember the Minister of Finance being at pains to point out that fact. But I like to know I got black and white in front of me so that I don't have people coming after you then to have to re-guide me again.
But school children and adults was never the same fare. And I don't think they ever will be. So you set him right.
But you know, Sam, these people feel as though, and I don't mean him in particular because I know what people get, but some people feel that they could do as they like in Barbados. Some of them write and they say that, I'm dealing with here, right? They feel that they could do as they like about this place. And my question is, how many children paid $2 yesterday and how many paid $2 today? And I really could go and get back the 50 cents.
My question would be if they can get back. The 50 cent. That would be my question.
Right. We both know the answer to that. So move on to the next point now.
No, that's all for today. You won't believe where I am now.
Tell me.
I'm here having a drink with Aston B-Walk.
Jeez.
Today.
Look, take a sit there for me, man. You can you're a classic.
Anything you can do for yourself.
Look, thank you. Oh, boy. 80 minutes before 2. Good afternoon and welcome. I love it. I love it. Good afternoon, Brastat. See you on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Corey.
Hey, good afternoon, man. When I line up, man, come let me go. I love it. Talk to me.
Equally.
Yes, talk to me. I am good, man.
I'm a bit which is good for you, so,
if.
Yeah, I want to make a comment to something that was said earlier by a gentleman who we call Mr. C. He was trying to retort something that he would have said last week, and he mentioned to you today that I come in and say he can come on and say categorically he's a member of the Barbados Labour Party, etc. Mm-hmm. But that same gentleman went on today to say that if you want to bring what you said to a logical conclusion, he's about having the best for the country, etc. Mm-hmm. But who shouldn't? Who shouldn't? And if he's saying that he's not a member of the B, etc., the angle that he took, and everyone has got to take that angle, you won't have a government elected, though. Mm-hmm. Because he's saying, he said to you, he's neither a B nor a D. Now, if everyone holds that position, they're neither a B or a D, how you can get a government elected?
But no, I think that, no, I actually would love it that way. I would love it that way. Sorry, was this Friday. This Peter was just writing me, telling me he wanted to come in with Strickers, telling her he thought that he was his friend too. So it got me good. I sorry I didn't see the message earlier. Would have loved the conference then, but that would have been at the expense of you, Raw. But Raw, I am thinking, right, that I would like to see a government of... I have not worked out the model, right? But I think that I know that the model that we have can definitely do with some improvements. So if everybody get and they vote for the best representative, I don't think it should be because it's B or D. Suppose you want to support the Democratic Labour Party as you do, but they don't bring the best candidate. They bring a candidate that you feel is either incompetent, they are not as honest as they should be, etc., etc. You are compelled because you support that party to vote for that person or alternatively stay home. And you think that at the end of the day, we get the government we deserve because we do these types of things. Now, what if you say, if everybody in all the constituencies say we can vote for the best, I think that would be better for Barbados. That's just my point.
Yeah, but where's the evidence of the candidate brought as incompetent, et cetera?
But no, my role.
That analysis is the way that depends on who's saying it, you know.
But no, the thing is, you will not see the competence or the incompetence based on who the person is. But we all know, from record, track record, empirical data, this person has been a minister before, total failure, never get a policy or a project off of the ground. This person was a businessman, 5 businesses all failed. You understand? No, this person was, you understand, you have data, you have history, you have track record to tell you categorically that this person is incompetent. This person never represent people at a bus stop yet, far less more per somebody in union or something. You gonna understand what I mean? They don't know anything about representation. They get an impression about what's happening and they determine that the whole idea is that I want to support this person because of this thing. Now, I want to read this thing quickly before I forget. I ain't running you off. You hold on. Right. George Noel Carbing. We read this. I read this last week, but you ain't collect the things yet. George Noel Carbing, or anybody knowing George Noel Carbing, you've lost some documents last week and they were found. Please call 430-7300. This is very important. Now, we don't want people coming to pretend to be George, but it includes things like money and so on. And I would like George Carbing to get his belongings. So anybody knowing George Noel Carbing, get him, or they could call now 430-7300, 430-7300. George Noel Carbing. Please continue.
Yeah, but we're Mr. Anti-America and yourself are purporting. Y'all are talking about strong political reform, and a lot of reform has got to come about. There's a whole different ballgame.
Correct.
But as we've got it right now, you're heading up to this election, there's two significant parties.
plus about 10 others.
I'm not indignant, sir. two significant parties. Accompanied by others. That sound better?
But Sam, you know, but what do you tell those people? And I've heard a lot of people saying it. You know, we've given the B a chance for the last 26 odd years, and the D's about 26, 27 years or whatever. And you know, we keep coming up short. What about giving somebody else a chance?
We don't stand a chance, sir. I don't know where you go there.
I don't know where you ask that.
Closing, mm-hmm. You're talking about political reform. That's a whole different thing.
But both parties are saying that it's needed, you know, but nobody, I don't see making the effort. Both parties are saying, look, we need to make some fundamental reforms here and there. I've heard Ms. Motley, I've heard Stephen Lashley, I've heard Minister Innes, I've heard all them talk of this fundamental change in this Westminster system that we operate present.
But
I ain't seeing the effort. Somebody can come and put a commission again and a study, and they can come up with recommendations, and we all know what can happen after that.
Mr. Roy, Corey, have a good
day. You have a wonderful day. Have a blessed and wonderful day. You hear? Rostats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Mr. Lane?
Yes, please.
I am not a regular caller at all.
Mm-hmm.
And my topic is about violence. I recently heard about the violence that erupted at one of the polyclinics.
Mm-hmm.
And let me first say that I am not on the side of violence or misbehavior of any sort. But I believe that we have to examine the cause and effect in these situations. I believe that if we treat people like animals, we should not be surprised if we erupt the cannibal in them. I want to say that I went to a polyclinic yesterday, and I was appalled. Because the polyclinic should realize and accept the blame for creating the situation at the polyclinic, and don't just try to treat the violence or whatever erupts as a result of their lack of delivery of service to the customer.
Can we go a little deeper into the cause? And I want to put it this way, because I believe that what separates man from animal must be our intelligence and our ability to think and act. So you're being treated like an animal at a polyclinic and at various other places, let me add, and you wait one day and erupt into violence. Well, that makes you barbaric in my mind. Why not take steps like an intelligent human being to make the various representation, to get the change, to lobby, to whatever, to bring about these change, as opposed to bring in all violence, knowing that more than likely you can continue to be treated like an animal or worse after that?
I agree with you 100%. Now, I'm one of those who sat quietly yesterday at a polyclinic and watched, and I actually predicted what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I sat quietly. I didn't react because, again, of my education, my training, and my exposure.
But isn't that part of the problem, though? That we have the intelligent people just sitting quietly and not doing anything?
You can't do it in that situation. What I'm saying now is that you cannot issue 100 appointments for everybody to show up at 8:30.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you open the doors at 8:30. When you can stagger one, you can stagger the appointments to start with. You wait until the crowds build up. Those old people who came at 6:30 to try to get in first, when the doors fly at 8:30, it's a situation of the fittest will survive.
Yeah, correct. Survival of the fittest, well, yep.
That's what happens. There are four different functions which happens at the polyclinic. And some of us who go there for the first time don't know which line to get and where to get numbers from. There's the pharmacy, there's the people doing blood, they're the people who have appointments with the doctor, and they're walk-ins who now have to get appointments. And it's a mad rush. I would like to point the Ministry of Health to what happens at Bragg in Warrens when land tax happens. There are a lot of people who go there. What the guards do, and some people say it's not part of their job, they have done numbers. And if you come at 6:30 first, you get number one. If you come at 6:45 and there are 40 people ahead of you, you get number 41. And there is a line. But if you wait for a crowd to build up, and then some people are not cultured. And then they have the situation of rushing and fighting and pushing. Then the second situation is that I felt very humiliated and insulted when we had to sit 2 morning devotions. We had to sit down and a group came and there was prayers and then a lesson and then a sermon. Yeah. And then prayers again. So delivery service began after 9 o'clock. And we had a dressing down by 2 senior nurses who made us know that we were beggars.
Not good enough.
Did not suggest that our taxes sent them to community college at the nursing school.
That is a prevailing attitude in the country.
Nor did it suggest that our taxes pay them. Mm-mm. We were beggars, so we had to...
Not good enough.
...sit down and accept what happened. And
I would like going forward, though, that we start to find some effective ways, instead of just griping or just bearing it or waiting till the situation get out of control to explode, to find ways to bring about these changes. This is a discussion on governance and how we can better govern our country, because we are part of the government. We at points when we think of the suggestions that we can be made, when we look at the technology that's been introduced, how much easier it is for us as a people to be able to contribute to governing. I would like to see us start to move in that direction, not think in that direction, not talk in that direction, but move in that direction. Sorry, God, bid you farewell because we got to move on. I want to get a couple more messages and a couple more calls, so thank you very much. This one says, good afternoon, Corey. I send messages to the chat on a regular basis, but not read. So I'm speaking on abuse today. I came up in an abusive home. It's not easy to deal with. I was to say that boys are not taught to love and respect women. Most men seem to believe that women, they're there to facilitate sexual needs and keep the house. They do not treat the women nice with any flowers, gifts, or even help with cleaning or cooking. This topic will call for more discussion. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air, good afternoon. Good afternoon, welcome to Brass Stats, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corillian.
Hi, good afternoon.
Tell me the time the only foot on the
It is 6 minutes to 2 o'clock.
Okay, so I'm going to edit myself, so bear with me, right?
Yes, please.
No, today seems to be Bash Men Day. Mm-hmm. Not Bash Men Day, Bash Men.
Bash Men
Day. Listen, Bash Men. Now, listen carefully. I would suggest that everybody that's going to call in or send you a WhatsApp or a message to do not use the word but, because it seems like that's how we just normally speak. Mm-hmm. Right? It sounds like when they use but, people are taking it is that you are facilitating or encouraging it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest to them to use when they make the open statement here. However, that's a bad word.
Mm-hmm. No. Yes, or powerful. Start a new sentence.
People are pinning down this thing to.
But wait, let me ask you a question. The guy that they were the day recently, you believe that he needs to be bashed?
No. He put it in his way, what he saw from his perspective.
No, you're talking about the man that killed the woman.
Oh, listen to me. I never want to get into that.
No,
right?
Wait, you think he needs bashing?
I'm going to say this. Uh-huh. Right? Yes, he needs bashing. Oh, he and anybody else that do
it. That means sorry, maybe bashing today, though.
No, you wanted me to say that. No, let me finish the way I want to say it quickly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody pinning down this thing to a man can't take a horn. And also pinning down to you ain't own me and all that kind of stupidity. If they allow these groups, women groups, allow men to come and speak, and they will learn a lot, because it's not only that. It's not sexually all the time that happening. I listen to a lot of my friends, men, and I see what they try to get into, and I try myself to persuade them and can't add a men too. But these men do not call to give their perspective. So it appears that it's mostly man can't take a dan, mm-hmm. man take a horn. Sure. Rub out them two things mm-hmm. and look for other things that is really happening in these people's lives. And it's not right for the men to do it, and I don't accept it at all.
At all, across the
However, there are underlying causes which cause these people to react, and they've got to be trained or somehow find some way of finding a way that they don't do it. How can you do that? It's mm-hmm. easy for me to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we can't stop. My God, usually when we go counter on but we're changing laws, mm-hmm. let me ask you, when the laws get changed, are they going to walk with a force field around them?
Mm-mm.
You you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They understand.
The laws ain't gonna help.
That's why you say we need some serious things. You need a combination of things, though. You need to start from
listen
early.
Listen to the men that call. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to push them off the radio.
But no, nobody did that here today. In all fairness,
No. I'm not saying to push them off. I'm saying listen to them. Women's group, listen. You know why? These men probably trying to get out and explain some things to you all. But you know what y'all are doing? Is to bash men. That is what they keep doing. So men shutting up. So I ain't going to learn nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my contribution. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you. You do have some agreement coming in here via some messages today. I think we got to listen to both sides. And we have a number of things we got to do. Can't get into it right now. But the music tells us it's time to wrap up this edition, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Of course, I got to thank my wonderful comical team of KB Clee, Graham Vaughn, and Corey Lane. It was an enjoying time bringing you from 10 to 2 p.m. Do enjoy and keep it locked to Voice of Barbados. Lane out.